Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is bothering us the most in our life, or what would bother you? Children, young people, also you are in church, part of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, a congregation. That question is also addressed to you. Young people, what would annoy you very much? That you don't get clear answers to your many questions? That you don't get what you want? Or that there is so much trouble and uncertainty in this world? Those things are also, for adults, important issues. What a suffering we experience every day around us. What a pain and hurt we can have. Every day we face many new challenges. And all those things, and so much more, can be so wearisome. And then we long to get relief, to get a break. Because of our materialistic and man-centered world, we can be so preoccupied with physical, social, and cultural difficulties and problems. And we don't seem to get a break from them, but they seem to get worse and worse. Yet praise be to God, as we already have done also in this service again. Christians, believers, church people, they do get a break. They may enjoy rest. We heard our Lord God call us at the beginning of the service. He calls us to that rest, for He takes our burdens away. But about which trouble, which burden are we actually speaking of? Are that physical and material ones? No, not in the first place. Here we are concerned with the root cause of all trouble and misery. A congregation, what is our focus in church? What's the focus of God's word and gospel? The word preached, the focus of holy baptism you all received. What's the focus of the Lord's Supper you again hope to celebrate next Sunday? Well, in those means of grace, the triune God speaks and works rest. Yes, God Himself, in His presence, He acts. The Creator of all, that we heard this morning, we are in His hands. And one day, we visibly will stand face to face with Him on the last day. The big question now is, are we naturally fit to stand before the Holy God, the great God, Almighty? Are we fit and worthy ourselves to face Him? Not at all. Before Him we are filthy rags because of sin and our guilt. And so what first and foremost must wear us down? Of what do we need relief? Beloved, young and old, we need relief from the oppression, power of sin. Here before the Lord, later on as well, we continue and we need to appropriate God's grace. And we need to bask in His love. Here we want to find spiritual rest for our souls. For us, the most important issue, therefore, is eternity. That is to say, With our Lord Jesus Christ, we long to drink the wine new in the kingdom of his heavenly Father, as the Lord Jesus expressed himself in Mark 14. And so we find ourselves as, so to speak, wearisome travelers on the way to the Lord's wedding feast. The congregation, beloved, receive now new direction. Receive new strength and assurance at the Lord's Supper, that next Sunday you can hope to celebrate, Lord willing. And in preparation of that celebration, then I may serve you with God's word as follows. As travelers, we are refreshed at the Lord's Supper. For there we receive renewed direction, we receive renewed strength, and we receive renewed assurance on the way to the feast. So as travelers, we are refreshed at the Lord's Supper. First, then, we receive renewed direction for the way. Beloved, young and old, fellow travelers to the feast of the Lord, this afternoon we read two passages of God's Word. The one from Mark is about the institution of the Lord's Supper by the Lord Jesus himself. And there the Lord Jesus acted as the mediator of God's covenant. At a time when, with his people, Jesus celebrated God's grace and salvation in the Old Testament manner, at a time he identified himself as the Lamb of God. But on Good Friday, he would give himself on the cross. He would give himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people, once and for all. His body was broken, his blood shed, for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Something you will hear next week, time and again, that he worked atonement for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. And because of being the true mediator of God's covenant, he has changed then the method of the celebration of God's grace. Then at the institution of the Lord's Supper, he, so to speak, took the Old Testament Paschal Lamb off the table. Instead, he placed himself as the sacrificial Lamb on the table. And that's why he spoke of that new covenant in his blood. Doing so, Jesus broke the way open to heaven, Hebrews 13. And so, by doing that, he gave us free admission to his eternal feast in heaven. That's why we time and again hear the announcement, the invitation to come to that feast. The other passage of our scripture reading, Revelation 19, gives us a glimpse of the great celebration of that feast in heaven. It speaks about, as we heard, gladness, rejoicing, giving glory to the Lord God Almighty. He is, remember, also the message of this morning. He is the only sovereign, loving and faithful, invincible God who is, who he was, who will be, who he is, the Alpha and the Omega. Now, at the table of the Lord, in his presence, we receive then a foretaste of this abundant joy Revelation 19 speaks about, which he promised that we may are made partakers in that marriage feast of the Lamb. How blessed are you, beloved? How blessed are we, our text says. God says, through my word, the word now preached, you receive the divine invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. A congregation, Your presence here in church shows that you respond to that and want to respond to that invitation call of the Lord. That and also you are made ready and willing for that feast yourself. That means you young people, make you ready by learning your catechism, longing to make public profession of faith in order to get admission to the Lord's Supper. And then you, communicant members, you are making yourself ready for the Lord's feast and preparing for and participating in the Lord's Supper next week. And for all of us who are on the way to the day of Christ, on that day, you will then fully bask in His eternal love. You will sing, so to speak, Psalm 116, at the top of your voice. True. Every Sunday, we hear His great love preached to us in the gospel. Nevertheless, regularly, we also may see the visible tokens of Christ's infinite love. We may see that at the table of the Lord. And at that celebration, we may look again at that picture that Christ sacrificed Himself, taking the burden of sin and evil from us. That He, in His eternal love, He has embraced His people, us, making us His own. A congregation, you could say that the Lord's Supper functions like a photo album. I like to say, I refer still to a photo album, although nowadays many have pictures on their of files on their iPad and an iPhone or a smartphone. I like to still talk about an album, photo album of paper. Such an album reminds us of important events in our lives. And I'm then especially thinking of baptism photos, or pictures of your public profession of faith, or even wedding pictures. You know, those pictures remind us of God's rich blessings, of His grace and love, of the important events of our life that we cherish. Now, on which cherished event does God's Word focus? That is on the Lord's grace unto our eternal life and joy, congregation. That through His atoning work, Christ acquired His bride, His church. He acquired us. However, He would not immediately live with His bride. And we won't immediately live with Him as our bridegroom in eternal blessedness. As bridegroom, He had to be first engaged in building the house for Himself and for His bride, for His wife. And doing that, He needs to clean up this world from all the damaging work of the evil one. And not only that, our bridegroom also needs to keep us on track. He has to make sure that we don't get bogged down on the way to the feast. And He also knows our weakness of getting discouraged very quickly. Even worse, we still are inclined to get ourselves soiled by the evil and dirt of the world around us. It's all right into our face, the evil of Satan, on TV, in the movies, on billboards. The voice then also of our own flesh calls us to be involved in the miry pit of the world without God. Grab it. You all can enjoy it at the move of your fingers. It's all yours. The devil whispers. Now, in such a wearisome world, our faithful and loving Lord continues getting us arrayed in festive wedding clothes. He Himself longs for His day to come. And as the bridegroom, he wants to be with his bride. He won't slacken in his preparation work at all. He won't slacken. Neither must we. That's why he says to us time and again, do this to my remembrance. In other words, he says, my bride, please pick up the photo that that shows how much I loved you. You see, congregation, the picture of the Lord's Supper, when the Lord gave all his love to his people, including us, that picture of the Lord's Supper will give us new direction on the way to the marriage supper of the Lord. It prevents you, it prevents us of slackening off by the dangers of the road, or much worse, even it prevents us to get lost. The Lord's Supper then will redirect again your love for him so that its spark is rekindled unto your eternal life. Your life is your Lord and Savior. And then your heart will beat much faster for your time and true life with and in him. Staying focused on the direction of your life. That feast, eternity. Look, congregation, in the troubles, pain, weaknesses, shortcomings, worries and sins of life. Look then at the Lord Jesus Christ, so to speak, standing at the highway unto heaven, motioning, calling, shouting, take a stop. Take a stop at my rest area. And here, enjoy my food and drink that will give you new direction in life. On the way, beloved, on the way to the marriage feast of the Lord, we get more and more that renewed direction. And traveling that way, we also receive the new strength. Brings us to our second point. The way unto eternity, beloved, is a way of the cross. This means that as travelers to the feast to come, we need to practice self-restraint, self-denial. Doing so requires of us to make the right choices. Also that we are prepared of bringing offers, suffering loss even. We know that in the last week before his crucifixion, the Lord himself became completely isolated. He, so to speak, lost everything. And that's also what and will happen to his bride. Going to the feast of Christ will cost us dearly as far as life in this world is concerned. What about, for example, when our job, business or family relationships must be sacrificed for ongoing travel on Christ's way to his feast? That can happen. And no doubt here in our midst, some of you have experienced those hardships, having relatives against you, having lost friends, customers. Yes, we have even lost fellow members because of our sincere determination to keep on the way to the Lord's feast. And yet that can be very tiring too, and depressing even. We can be cast down by those setbacks and disappointments. For you know, we are created as social persons. People who need contact. People who need to be talked to. Friendlies. Camaraderie. Fellowship. Without them, our life will become flat and depressed. Such pressures also can impact our joy of and our life with the Lord. Now, here with Him and with His people, we give thanks to the Lamb of God, our Savior, who gives us new strength. He doesn't leave us traveling and running us all alone. He gives us regular breathers to be refreshed. He gives us to enjoy His food and drink. You see, the Lord does not want us to go on and on and to go on and on and then quickly, very quickly drive by the window of a fast food chain or place for just a bite and then continue to run around and run around and continue our travel. No, no. The Lord gives us time. And then we need to take our time. Beloved, when we celebrate His death and sacrifice, we speak about celebration. Celebrating our redemption at the table of the Lord. We are celebrating our eternal joy in true faith. In true faith. So celebrating then, doing that, we put our mind on the Word of God. Then we focus on the gospel of Christ. And we also are busy with His promises and treasures. You don't do just that in a few seconds or a few minutes. All that that the Lord has obtained for us and grants us. Then our mind is, and indeed it's a matter of preparation all the days, now also this week for next Sunday too. Then we meditate on the realities of heaven. And take time to think of eternity. Again, you don't do that just in a few seconds. Eternity. And on other many things in faith, things we do not yet see, but things we travel to. But in our fast-pacing and demanding world, we find it hard to spend some quality time, as just mentioned, with the Word and with God, allowing us to be strengthened by our Lord. Our modern life is hectic. Next to our ordinary and often demanding work, we organize and also many church and school activities. We also are involved in sport events. Then after those events, we feel a need to spend some time at, for example, Tim Hortons or at other places. Not a drinking hole, of course. And then after all that activities, then Saturday, midnight, we crash in bed, having difficulty to get up on Sunday morning. Oh, beloved, how much time do we give to God's road map, God's Word? That map, God's Word, that shows us the way to the New Jerusalem? How much time do we give it even on Sundays? How often we are too tired for doing that. And there's no doubt apathy and slackness in living with the Word. And so we deprive ourselves. The pressures of life deprive us from getting renewed strength, for getting ready and traveling towards the feast of the Lord. Thanks be to God. He makes us stop regularly at His rest area, so to speak, so that we are refreshed for a new stretch. And He is doing so by regularly preparing His table for us, giving us time to reflect on all that He has done for us and what is still in store for us. Through that food and drink we get at His table, we receive renewed strength for for ongoing travel unto eternity. And then, oh miracle of God's grace, we will experience that we let ourselves more and more be guided by His Word and Spirit. We, for example, organize in our own life and church life in such a manner that more frequently we are busy with His Word and with His promises. Focused on the things that really matter. And then we also will enjoy that blessing that Christ more and more dominates us so that we make the right choices. And that we enjoy actually hastening the coming of the Lord. That's what we want as His bride, don't we? The coming of the bridegroom. And therefore, beloved, at our congregational Lord's Supper celebrations, for you that means next Sunday, Lord willing, you may greet each other by saying, "Hey, hey, grand to see you, great, exciting. Oh, let's rejoice and let us be glad together. Praise the Lord for His eternal salvation. Oh yes, let us together, let us haste His coming." We indeed need to do so individually, true. But we do so as congregation, members of the same body. We do so together as well. At the Lord's rest areas, we are strengthened and encouraged by seeing that others join us, that they take their place with us. It makes us aware that we are not just lonely travelers. No, we meet and we have many fellow travelers, all the same direction, that festive event of the Feast of the Lord. And beloved, we also may see this togetherness across congregational borders, traveling together to the Lord's face. Allow me to emphasize the following. We as the Lord's congregations in Manitoba, here on the prairies, congregations of the URC congregations and the Canadian Reformed congregations, that we have contact and that we have exchange of ministers, a great privilege and a great enjoyment. That we have young people having Bible study together. That we have an exchange of young men and women and Christian marriage. Indeed, we greatly enjoy the Lord's blessing of having unity in true faith. But my question is, aren't we traveling to the Lord's feast still too much on our own? But we cannot do individually, we cannot do it together, we cannot live in faith on our own. We don't have a church of our own. We are the Lord's. And we need each other in order to enjoy traveling to that great festive hall where we all be together as well and heading towards. And so our contact, fellowship, our spiritual excitement should be an antidote to our loneliness in an evil world around us and the pressures around us. We need each other in getting ready for that great wedding celebration in heaven where we will all be together forever. And so, beloved, may you be strengthened and that longing by enjoying your supper with the Lord, the exalted head of His church. And doing so, then we are assured that on the way to eternity, that we will receive new direction, new strength, but also new determination to get there. And this brings us to our last point. Faithful congregation, faithful and wise travelers will arrive at the feast of the Lord. The text emphatically says, these are the true sayings of God. Now that phrase shows that we are not concerned with human calls, not with human wishes or invitations, sayings, words of promises. No, here, God Almighty speaks through His Son and His Spirit. His word is powerful. That word gives what it promises. And His word is assuring. God is faithful. Now, because of our weaknesses and anxieties, the Lord even added in signs and seals to His word. And as far as the Lord's Supper is concerned, as you know, and the children also know, those signs are in the bread and the wine. As surely as bread and wine strengthen our physical body, so sure will we receive the new life, a restored body in His kingdom. Wow, the perspective. The meal also assures us that we will see Christ, that He will make us radiant and spotless, bringing us to His Father. And thus, we truly will participate in His wedding feast. We will get there. Look again, look at that photo, that picture of the Last Supper. Christ eating with His disciples. And that is actually the picture of every Lord's Supper celebration. Christ eating with His people, with His followers. Christ eating with us. Revelation 19 and affirms that as surely as we receive the food and drink at the table of the Lord, at that rest area, so surely will we arrive at the feast hall of our exalted Lord. And we also witness within us, we have that and we get that assurance. But the Holy Spirit is at work. Beloved, as New Testament church, we are traveling from Good Friday to the day of Christ. Again, I say towards eternity. We can't even think of all that means, but it is true. Every Sunday reminds us of our glorious destination. Indeed, every worship service impresses upon us the truth of the eternal Sabbath. So, congregation, be assured that every Lord's Supper celebration is an appetizer. It is a pre-meal of that glorious banquet of the wedding feast of Christ and His bride. That's what the bread and wine tell us. At the table of the Lord, the bread and wine tell us that to everyone, the children included. Although the younger ones, the children, that they don't taste the food and the wine yet, they nevertheless see the bread broken, the wine poured out, which also gives them then a preview of their own glory to come. At catechism class, I once asked the question, what makes young people, what makes church now so exciting? What is so exciting for you in church? Listen to one of the students. The answer was, church is so exciting because we are reminded of the coming of Christ and that He died for our sins and that we know that we will be saved and that we will be eternally blessed and will live forevermore. A summary of the message also this afternoon. That's what the answer shows. That we, with our children, travel towards the day of Christ. We, with our children, have to focus on that travel unto eternity. For that travel, our holy God doesn't give us a GPS who is doing it all for us. God gives us is sure, an assuring word. And he gives us the spiritual food and drink at the table of the Lord. And so, our life's aim is focused on God's eternal kingdom. We long for getting the right direction and strength that we may be determined to complete our trouble. Congregation, the Lord willing, next Sunday, may you have a blessed celebration of the Supper of the Lord, so that you will say to each other, I am refreshed at the table of the Lord indeed. I received renewed direction. I received new strength. I received new assurance on the way to the heavenly feast. And confirm that now already, with joining in the praise of the congregation, come, for the feast is spread. Hark the call. Come, where the fountain flows, river of life. Come to the throne of grace. Boldly draw near. Come to the better land. Pilgrim, the traveler, make haste. Jesus, we come to thee. Oh, take us in. Amen.